Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I am doing very good. How about you? How about this week? I think we had a teeny bit of rain. But
yes.
Not...
You know, last weekend I said we don't have any rain. And sure enough, the middle of the week, we have 10%, 20%, 30%. And I said, we need it, so I'm not going to complain. But it looks like we have a little bit more rain the next 2 weekends. So I'll be talking about those. And that's going to come from a cold front both weekends. We should get some rain this morning and this afternoon, really, really quick. But that's all we need right now, just to cool the temperatures down. So Key West, you guys are going to be the coolest part of the state this week. Mid-80s, no rainfall, but beautiful weather, beautiful 80s. Tampa, you're going to be in the mid-80s to the low 90s. A couple of days sunny with rain on the weekend. Orlando, again, upper 80s and low 90s. This is just the same. This is just May. Hopefully rain today or tomorrow. 40% chance, then dry through next weekend, and then more chances of rain. So if we get it every week or so, then we don't need to turn on our irrigation system.
So does that count as the beginning of La Nina if we're going to get a little more rain?
La Nina is going to happen in a couple of months towards the middle summertime. We're going to transition into it, but we're not in it just yet.
Okay.
North Florida, you got in Tallahassee, upper 80s, low 90s. Rain today, Sunday and Monday. You guys are lucky. And then again next weekend. So enjoy it. Turn off your sprinkler systems. And I just want to give a big shout out to Jim in Newberry. And then also to the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival last weekend.
How was that? I almost came out, literally got dressed twice. And then the second time, I saw the big thunder clouds coming. And I was like, oh, you know what? Nope. I want to go back in my house.
It was great. There was lots of beautiful plants, a lot of pitcher plants, carnivorous plants. And I saw people walking around holding them like they were little pitchers and the pitcher hanging down. A lot of people stopped by to say hi. They came out to see Tom. He had a great response. A lot of people came by and said that they love listening to the show. So I do appreciate that. That's great. This week, our first newsletter went out. It's called In Your Backyard. It is free. You can go onto our Facebook page, and you can see where you can sign up for it. And it tells you what to do in the month of May. I have all of my design tips. I'm going to be giving that each month. And then my favorite plants and landscape malpractice. I love doing that. Don't do this in your yard. This is landscape malpractice. And I have lots of great pictures of that. Thank you to everyone who participates.
Right.
And my garden tours, all of that, and access to all our sponsors, Lizzie. And you're going to be doing a little segment of it. And
he
I'm
is.
Interested in doing that. So you can follow along and find out what Lizzie said. Lizzie said what? She's going to be on there next time. So we are celebrating two holidays today. The first is the World Naked Gardening Day. And that's tiptoe through the bougainvilleas very carefully. And you can go on to, again, our Facebook page. And you can see the very first World Naked Gardening Day.
Yes, it's very impressive. I didn't know we actually had documentation of that.
It's right there for everyone to see. And it's World Naked Gardening Day is an annual international event generally celebrated on the first Saturday of May by gardeners and non-gardeners alike. It really did come from the nudist participants, the nudist colonies and stuff. The very first annual World Naked Gardening Day took place on September 10th, 2005. And the organizers, they say that besides being liberating, nude gardening is second only to swimming as an activity that people are most readily open to participating in. So I wouldn't necessarily call it a sport, but it's just a fun gardening activity. But you just got to dress a little bit for the, you know, make sure you spray a lot of, you know,
sunblock
and mosquito, you know, spray and just for today. So since the launch of World Naked Gardening Day, its popularity has grown. And Lizzie, do you know in 2021, this is when during the pandemic, when everybody was crazy, The Orlando Weekly reported that a survey listed Orlando in the top 10 places to celebrate World Naked Gardening Day. So other cities include Austin, Seattle, Atlanta, and Portland, Oregon. So that is kind of interesting. Orlando's the number one place.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we got beautiful weather, but I'm please do not send us any pictures. I'm not even trying to see none of that. That's great. I've got a great imagination. I don't need anybody to send any photos.
No, especially if you're a fan of the show and you call in or text in all the time. We do not want to see pictures.
No. We want to see pictures of your foliage, but humans, no thank you.
So the second holiday we celebrate today is May the 4th. And May the 4th can be applied to the landscape, too, as well. And you can see Darth Vader trimming his shrub. And what do you think he's trimming it into? You have to go to the Facebook page and see it.
Okay, yeah, I got to go look now. All right.
And so May the 4th and World Naked Gardening Day. So check that out. We also have a wonderful parody from the Denver Water Company on the Splash Street Boys. And it's a great, great video on saving water. And we really want to do that. We aren't getting enough rainfall. We are going to have to use a little bit of rain. But you have to go see the Splash Street Boys video. Coming up, we have Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, who's going to remind gardeners this is the last month to accomplish an important landscape chore. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery, has been a longtime proponent of, you know, being a Florida native plant grower, and he's been with Extension, University of Florida, and he has had his own nursery, and he has the most wonderful nursery right downtown DeLand, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. I'm wide awake. How are you?
I am good. You know, that sun is rising a little earlier and earlier each week. So I'm kind of...
It's hard to keep up with that sun.
It is.
I'm standing here looking at my yard right now, looking at these beautiful Coreopsis and Rudbeckia, hundreds and hundreds, just in beautiful full bloom. It's so easy, too, to do that.
It is.
And the mango tree full of golf ball size mangoes. I'll have to send you a photograph.
Oh, please do. Please do. You know, that's a really good question. You know, a lot of people have been asking about their fruit trees. And with the weather that we've had over the last 6 months, it really seriously has been a drought this spring, despite being a dry season. And so that does affect how fruit trees will produce. And yours is got a lot of fruit on it. What do you do differently?
Yes. Well, I do soil testing. I do a very thorough soil test. Like 4 years ago, I was having trouble. The fruit were getting smaller and not too many. I tested the soil and found potassium, magnesium, and boron were deficient. So I corrected that with potassium, magnesium, sulfate, a good, all-purpose fertilizer, and a little bit of borax twice a year, spring and fall. By the way, you know, that's very important for fruit trees. If you haven't put any boron, put a little sift, just a little bit of borax around. This is your last chance, you know, for that and a little bit of bone meal. Get that surge or need for phosphorus in the spring. But all your fruit trees really need that little extra in the spring, as well as a good all-purpose fertilizer.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about with you today, is because the fertilizing, not only for nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, but for the micronutrients, the boron and the magnesium, manganese and zinc, copper, all of those important elements. Why is May so important to get the fertilizing done?
Well, because, you know, it's the last chance before spring. The rainy season is going to start. You need to get that nutrition in the trees before the heat and the stress of summer. And also, it's a state ordinance and local codes or ordinances that require you to put nitrogen-containing fertilizer in zero phosphorus only from October through May. So May is the last time before you can start again in October. And it's for good reason, because there's no real demand in the heat of summer for nitrogen. You don't need phosphorus in most cases. So you need to have a soil test to show you need phosphorus before you can put phosphorus, because of the overloading of our watersheds, you know, and
it does it does cause pollution, stormwater pollution. And so so May 31st is the last time you can fertilize for the summer. That's just standard throughout the state.
And be sure to use a fertilizer that's got some organics in it, or combine it with organics. Things like, you know, potassium, magnesium sulfate. Things like kieserite, the naturally mined magnesium sulfate, along with potassium, magnesium sulfate. The things like fish emulch and bone meal, kelp, you know, urea, you know, things that last in the soil, along with things, and limit the amount of ammonium or chloride form. A lot of fertilizers only have things like ammonium sulfate and potassium chloride, and unavailable trace minerals like oxide form. You want to use available forms, at least sulfates, chelates, or sucrates that actually absorb, you know, because the microbes can work on them, convert them to ionic forms the roots actually take up.
And so where can
get a good fertilizer and put organics with it if you need to.
That's important. And where can people get their soil tested?
Well, I do soil testing if you want a really complete comprehensive test. And you can go right away to the Extension Service. Orange County is nearby for Orlando. They have a great service. Bring your soil and they will give you an immediate test on the pH. And then, you know, University of Florida, you can have it sent off to the University of Florida Soil Testing Lab, and they can give you a good look so you have a starting point for your soil and what you need to do, what you need to add, the minerals that are low or deficient, what you need to add. And then you know what not to add, too. That's just as bad, putting something you don't need.
Exactly. They may not even
need.
They may not even need to put nitrogen down, because there may be enough already in the soil. And so,
well, absolutely.
And that's going to save them money.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have all the minerals in the soil, the microbes flourish, and then they manufacture, they produce enough nitrogen. And then if you have, you know, nitrogen-fixing plants, then you're also going to have a good success. Like, you know, wax myrtles are actually a nitrogen-fixing tree.
I did not know
it's
that.
It's a native. Yeah, it fixes atmospheric nitrogen.
Wow. And so then also, too, because Florida had so many years, decades and decades, even a century of citrus trees on certain parts of the state, practically all of the state, down the I-4 corridor and the turnpikes, the fertilizers that the farmers and the growers used, the orchard growers, then it's still there, and we really don't need to be fertilizing as much as what we think so.
Well, absolutely. We need to switch to good bioavailable fertilizers that build the soil and build availability of nitrogen and all the trace minerals. And so that is really, really important, you know. And now we need to use like a good nutritional spray that's got surfactant penetrance, so it penetrates through that clogging caused by the greening. But if you have the trace minerals, some NPK, like our CitraThrive Plus, then you can recover and keep your trees healthy. And that's really important. Now, if you want to have citrus, use a good nutritional spray that's got these penetrating substances like ionic surfactants, penetrants.
I'm so glad you said that. And that's important, because our citrus industry is coming back. You can now plant citrus trees, but it's important to take care of the soil so that that they can take care of.
So, and you have a lot more cold hardiness. Winter comes, if you give the trace mineral, I've seen so much evidence of improved cold hardiness if you have all your trace minerals optimized in the soil and the tree.
Okay, so when there is little to no rainfall like we've had, Dana, How can we help our trees and our plants? What can gardeners do to so that they don't have to water as much, or that the plants and the trees are not affected by the drought?
One thing is mulching. You know, we do that every day. We do some mulching of our beds at the nursery, and that's very important. Don't put it too close to the trunk, because you can keep it too damp and, you know, initiate fungus at the base of the plant or tree.
Right.
But any clippings or branches, leaves, anything that's compostable, you can just spread it around, and you will be amazed. In a few months, there's going to be rich soil underneath, and you look underneath, there's going to be earthworms galore, and the rich black soil that we all adore.
That is true. And so that mulching will help the plants hold on to moisture. I appreciate that. And so
absolutely, and stop the weeds, too.
That's very important. And so people think they put mulch down just once, and then they never need to do it again. How often would you suggest that they put new mulch down? And how much?
Well, we put it on, you know, every week or two. We'll sprinkle some new leaves. We love to put oak leaves and any of the leaves that have fallen from the trees, particularly this time of year. Some leaves are still there. We're still sweeping up, and we sprinkle all those seeds and sort of sprinkle a little bit of water so they don't blow away. But they compost pretty fast if you sheet compost around, like, the drip line of your plants.
I know that when our oak tree in the front, it's right there in between the curb, the sidewalk, and the road, and I know that these leaves fall down, and every few months we just have to scrape it up, and it's black dirt. It no longer is
Absolutely.
Leaves. Underneath, it's black dirt.
It's nature's miracle. Let's take advantage of it. You know, and I see people out there burning leaves. It just makes me cry, literally.
Yeah, I know. And so harvesting fruit, how does somebody know when their fruit is ready? What would you tell them?
Well, look for the sizing. What is the size of the fruit? Is it the right time of year? Like, I'm looking at these mangoes right now. They ripen early in June. But I'm looking over at the avocado tree. The avocados on that avocado tree ripen like October, November, December, even January. We're picking some. It all depends on which type of tree you have, when they ripen, and the size, you know, the mature size. And there's always going to be some color change. Like the mangoes, when they start to get that full size and start to turn yellow, you better pick them, or the squirrels will.
Or the raccoons.
Raccoons, yeah. I saw a raccoon in a tree the other night. Yeah.
And so, Dana, we're coming up on the hard break. What? Where are you located in DeLand? And tell us your hours and website.
It's the most beautiful it's ever been. You will really love it. It's at 335 West Michigan Avenue, just north of downtown DeLand, 3.5 blocks west of the Stetson campus. The website is qualitygreenspecialist.com. And you can call me if you like, 386-734-8000. And if you need directions, we'll give them.
That's wonderful, David.
Really enjoy it. Come by. We've had groups coming by, and they have loved it, like the Land Garden Club was by. They were amazed.
All right, Dana. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
You too. Have a great show, Teresa.
Thank you. That's Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery. Now it's time for everyone who has a garden question. You can let us know what's going on in your garden or find out why something's going on. You can give Lizzie a call, 1-888-455-2967, or text me at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. It's time for your phone call or text message. You'll give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680. Lizzie is standing by. Let's go to Joseph in Lakeland. Good morning, Joseph. How can I help you?
Hi, yes. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I guess I have a brown thumb. I'm starting to get that impression. I'm trying to grow some vegetables. I'm leaning towards buckets, but I have another small patch. And squash is one I'm having the biggest problem with. I tried to grow some pumpkins with my son. He came home. He was all excited. They grew pumpkins at school. And
Joseph, I can't hear you very well. Are you on a speakerphone? Can you pick up?
Yeah. Should I change?
Yes, please. If you can go to a speakerphone. I mean, if you can just pick up so we can hear you. You're reverberating, and I can't understand what you're saying.
How about that?
Perfect, Joseph. Thank you. Okay. Start again.
I was on my hearing aids.
Oh, no, there. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I've got some squash plants, and they start out great. They come up, and then as they grow, the bottom leaves, they start to get brown, and I don't know. I'm just getting frustrated. I don't know if I'm doing anything wrong. I just use potting soil because I'm a beginner.
Sure.
I just figured I'd go get potting soil and just throw that in the bucket and planted the seeds. They came up good. So I'm asking if you have any good references for growing vegetables in Florida.
Sure. Okay. So let me ask you a couple of questions, Joseph. So you're growing in, what are you growing in, 5 gallon buckets?
Yes.
Okay. Is there drainage? Do you have holes in them?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And how often do you water?
I've been watering them once a day, mostly.
Okay. That might be a little too much, especially if you're using potting soil. Okay. And so the bottom leaves may be, just getting a little wilted, and it just may be a little too much. I would water every other day. Check the soil with your finger. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you don't need to irrigate or to hand water. And so that might be part of the issue. And so how often are you fertilizing?
Well, I've just started them. So,
okay.
You know, and maybe I started them kind of late, too. It was like mid-April.
Sure. Okay, yeah. Well, you can keep trying these. I mean, the pollination may be a little iffy. Squash, is really a springtime vegetable.
Right.
And so I would just reduce the amount of water. To pull those leaves off. Don't let the leaves touch the soil. And then just start your fertilizer regimen, 666-888-10-10-10 every month and put that down.
Okay.
And you should be just fine.
Okay.
Okay.
And also have these
And if you will, one minute, Joseph. And if you will email me, I'll send you a publication on when to plant the vegetables. Okay?
Great. I'll do that. And if you allow me another quick question.
Sure.
I've got these wild grapes. I guess it's the muscadines.
Muscadines, yes.
And they're everywhere. And I'm trying to get rid of them is what I'm trying to do.
Oh, no.
No?
Yeah, no, you can. I mean, they can be quite aggressive. And so,
yes.
So what would you like to do with them? Get rid of them?
Yes, I would.
Okay, well, it's a little late to be, using an herbicide. You don't want to use herbicides when the temperatures are over 85 degrees unless you want to, damage your turf or anything. Where are they located on your property?
They're right at the edge of, I have a small pond on my property, and there's some pretty tall pine trees, and they're kind of growing there and going up the pine trees. It's a pretty good section. I'd say it's like a half acre worth of land.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So if you want to just get rid of them and you don't have anything else growing there, there's no turf or anything, you just want to get rid of the muscadine grapes, then you can just go ahead and spray an herbicide. You can use, Brush Be Gone or another herbicide that will remove all the vines, and just spray it at the base of the pine tree, and that should take care of them.
Okay.
But they will come back because there's probably plenty of muscadine fruit in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, so you said Brush Be Gone?
Brush Be Gone, yeah. Any kind of, a heavy vine or a heavy growth infestation of weeds that are going up trees, you can use a product called Brush Be Gone.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for
you. You're welcome, Joseph. Have a great weekend. Thank you. I just want to, you know, a lot of people keep asking, you know, and Linda just texted and wanted to know what to use underneath her fruit trees to get rid of the weeds. And the time to use herbicide is over, okay, because we're over 85 degrees. And when the temperatures are hot like that, especially when we don't have adequate rainfall, then the weeds are going to be stronger than the turf or whatever you have that you're spraying it around. And you may damage any of your fruit trees, and you'll definitely damage your turf. Even if it is an herbicide that you can use on turf, when the temperatures are over 85 degrees, and it says it on the label, do not use herbicides. So the time to use herbicides is over. You got to hand pull, rake it out, hoe it out, and or just wait until fall in September when the temperatures get cooler, October, and then you can use the herbicide then.
Okay. All right. We're going to get a break here in just about a minute. I have been waiting and sitting on this all day. I'm going to send you a picture, but I don't want you to open it until we go on air, and then you can tell me what is or is not wrong with, some stuff that I'm growing. So.
Okay, super. We got some great text messages. Please use your name and location. That helps me when you are texting to know exactly what to tell you what to do or what the problem could be. Depends on where you are in the state. I might have a different answer. So your name and your city, if you're texting me, that will help me out tremendously.
Yeah, and people use different names every once in a while, so you don't have to use your real name. Just make sure you answer to it.
Yeah.
Don't pick Bobby if you're not going to go by Bobby.
Right, because when I say Bobby, you're going to go, who's she talking to? Yeah. And so also, too, we had our first newsletter go out this week, and you can go to betterlawns.com. And you can sign up for it. You can sign up for it on my webpage, or you can just go to Facebook and you can read the newsletter there and sign up for you. It's free. I don't spam. And it's called In Your Backyard, tell you what to do every month. And I'm going to get to that because it's May the 4th. Mm. And so because we are with you, May the 4th be with you.
Oh, I'm going to throw myself on something sharp.
Yeah. We're going to tell you what's coming up and what to do in the month of May to get ready for the summertime and what you can plant. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. I'll say that slowly. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I'm looking at your pumpkin patch.
Nope, those are cucumbers.
Oh, these are cucumbers. I'm sorry. They
look exactly like the vine and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but it's also yours are really kind of stressing out, aren't they?
They were growing. The cucumbers were growing. I was so excited. And then all of a sudden, this popped up this last week.
Yeah, it kind of looks, you've got some disease issues here. What time of the day are you watering at?
Probably about like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's
maybe too much.
Well, the fungal issues, yeah, definitely too much. I'm interested at the 4 o'clock. I would do it earlier in the morning if you can set it. Is it on a timer? Or,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Set it on the timer for like 6 or 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And then that way it's going to get the water and it can absorb it before the heat of the day. At 4 o'clock, it may be evaporating a little bit. But you've also, it is a fungal disease there. So you got a little bit of curl.
Yeah, so I probably just should trash that.
Yeah, it's a little late.
It's okay.
Yeah, go ahead and start over again. I would not compost it.
Okay.
Okay, so just throw them away.
All right, and then I just sent you two more, and that's my pumpkin patch.
Oh, I can't wait to see your pumpkin patch.
Yeah, okay, that's nice.
Yeah. There it is. Wow.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
I think it's got the same problem.
It is. It is. And it can kind of spread. So you want to be very clean in your yard because diseases can spread by air
Ooh.
As well. So Don't let the leaves fall down to the ground. Okay. If they're infected, throw them away immediately. Don't carry the weeds in your hand across the yard.
Okay.
Just have a bag there and just put it in the bag so you can kind of just keep the damage.
And what do I do about the soil in the bed?
The soil in the bed, you can go ahead, and if you need to, go ahead and sterilize it.
Okay.
Go just put some plastic on it. Keep it on for six to seven weeks, and it should be good to go for summertime in June when the weather kicks up, and the rain starts. So,
right.
Yeah. But, it happens. This is Florida.
I know. It was my third shot at trying pumpkins. Now, last year, my cucumbers rocked it.
Yeah.
But I think that, like you said,
that's
too much.
Okay, so did you grow cucumbers in the same bed last
Mm-mm.
year? No, you're Mm-mm. changing them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for you. Yep. Good. You're a smart girl.
Thanks.
Okay, super. Well, we'll just keep it. I would sterilize the soil and go ahead and try again.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Let's go to Linda. She said, what can we do to kill weeds under fruit trees before we mulch? And the mulch should kill the weeds, Linda. So if you're putting 3 inches down, I basically would kind of mow it so that you get rid of the leaves and any seeds, flowers that are coming up from the weeds. And then mulch 3 inches, and it should be okay for the summertime. If not, remove all the weeds because you can't use an herbicide right now. Okay, and a ground cover, she wants to know, is there a grass seed that I can use now in a 20 by 30 foot dog yard that is weeds and maybe 50% bare dirt? I would go ahead and seed with clover, okay, and get some clover. Clover is a resistant to dog urine, and you can go ahead and usually you do it in the fall and it will come up in the spring. So you could go ahead and try it now. Or just get rid of, live with the weeds this summer, and then in the fall, seed with clover and try clover for next year in your dog pen. Okay, that's a really great question. So my kumquat tree is full of green leaves and well-watered. However, the leaves are curled. What could cause leaf curl? Well, in the citrus family, leaf curl could be drought stress, but you say it's well-watered. So I'm thinking insects. It could be thrips. It could be a number of different insects. So go ahead, and when you come near close to the kumquat tree, spray the just kind of flush with your hand the leaves and see if you see any insects coming up. If you don't see any insects coming up, then it could be the watering issue. Even though you say it's well watered, how often is it getting watered, especially in this heat and for the size of the kumquat tree? Check that out. If it is insects, if you see insects, you can use an insecticidal soap on it or a horticultural oil like neem. Don't do it in the heat of the day. Do it in the early morning. And you may have to do a couple of applications of insecticidal oil. You can use Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. There's a couple of different choices. Let's go to Roy in Windermere. We haven't heard from Roy in a while. So good morning, Roy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm getting older and slower. That's what I was telling Liz.
Lizzie.
Hey, I got a question about, since I'm getting so slow around here, my gardening. I haven't gotten my vegetable garden in yet. I've got some seeds started, but I know it's late. Can I plant right in the ground, or should I start them from the seed starter kit?
Okay, so, what kind of vegetables?
Well, the regular tomatoes, peppers, eggplant.
Yeah, it's too late. Tomatoes and peppers, they do not, some peppers will. You can try the pepper seeds. You can go ahead and just put them right in the bed, and they should come up. But tomatoes do not germinate unless they're cherry tomatoes. Not germinate, but produce fruit when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. Okay, so save those seeds until fall.
Till fall. I have some tomato seeds started.
Okay.
And I think they're all cherry tomatoes.
If they're cherry tomatoes, they'll produce all summer long. Go for it.
Great. Okay. And what was my other? Oh, you know what? My bride of, a mere 50-some years.
Oh.
Went to the papers and found a Tom McCubbin brochure from UCF.
Oh, my goodness.
Better Lawns and Garden with Tom McCubbin. 2007.
Oh my goodness, that is a keeper. You need to keep that. That's wonderful.
So yeah, I'll have to get my wife to take a picture of it.
Please send me a picture of it. I would love to see it. There you go. Thank you so much, Roy.
Okay, you're
all right.
Welcome.
Let me know how your cherry tomatoes do, okay? Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. And so, Linda, you're welcome, hon. Thank you. 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, what can you be planting this month? So, Roy, here's what you could be planting. You can be planting amaranth, boniato, calabaza, cassava, chayote, cherry tomatoes, collards and dasheens, Everglades tomato, ginger and lima beans, longevity spinach and long squash, loofah squash, snap beans, Malabar spinach, malanga, New Zealand spinach. All of these exotic spinaches will grow all summer long. Okinawa spinach, okra, papayas, hot peppers and peanuts, pigeon peas and pineapples, roselle and Seminole pumpkins, southern peas. If you missed Tom McCubbin's advice on southern peas a few weeks ago, you can go to the iHeart page and you can find it. You can go to also Audio Boom and find it, and also on our Facebook page. Sugar cane can be planted right now. Sweet potatoes, Swiss chard, tamarillos, yams, and yard-long beans. So those are wonderful. Herbs you can grow: anise and basil, bay laurel, cardamom and chives, coriander and dill and fennel. Dill and fennel be great for the butterflies, even if you don't eat dill and fennel. Lemon balm, oregano, rosemary, sage, and savory sweet marjoram, mint and tarragon, and thyme. Put your mint in a raised bed. So we are going to be talking about butterflies. Little controversies popped up this month about the monarch butterfly. So I have a wonderful head of the Florida Research, the Florida Monarch Research and Education Project, Joyce Samzell. She's going to be coming on and discussing the controversy and what you should be doing in your landscape for the monarch butterflies. So I'm looking forward to talking to Joyce about that. And I also want to thank Dana Venrick, a Quality Green Specialist Nursery. He has everything you need for your landscape. If you're looking for native trees and native shrubs, fruit and fruiting shrubs like blueberries, all kinds of different types of shrubs and flowers and perennials, check out Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand, downtown DeLand. And we do appreciate him coming on. And so we're going to be taking your gardening questions. And also, the dirty word of the day is coming up. We are looking forward to that. What do you think it's going to be this week? So that will be lots of fun. And then also, too, we're going to be taking your phone calls and questions as well. If you didn't get the newsletter, you can sign up for it. Go to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and sign up. It's a free newsletter. We don't spam you. And you'll get what to do each month in your garden, in your mailbox, email box. And we are looking forward to touching base with everyone. So we're just adding just another little addition. I'm going to be adding you'll get my design tips and also my landscaper malpractice. And then also, too, as well, my favorite plants. And then, Lizzie, you're going to be adding a little something.
Yes, yes. A little adventure in Lizzie Land, I guess. So I don't know. We'll come up with a name. We'll figure this out.
There you go. So thank you to everyone who called the first hour. Can't wait to talk to everyone in the second hour from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything from the first hour, go to betterlawns.com. You can listen to all of our podcasts there. It's betterlawns.com.